Bless.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 60, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee I lift my soul. In thee my trust repose. My God, O put me not to shame before triumphant foes. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 60.
We wish to read out of God's holy word this afternoon from the gospel according to Matthew of chapter 18. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 18. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off, and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes, to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of the earth, who art our creator and our provider, and who hast again spared each and every one of us, and who has brought us all so safely together again, we may acknowledge thee for all thy sparing mercies, and that thou givest us to be together also in thy house of prayer. O Lord, could it be that we might even be as one of those little ones? Oh, could it be that we might have the least place even, the smallest place in thy kingdom, because that is undeserved by each and every one of us. And we need to learn that in our life over and over again, because even thy disciples, they were asking who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And thou, with thy gentle rebuke unto their pride and unto their aspirations, and thou didst set that little child before them. Oh, then there are those who do stand so outside of everything and do beseech thee for the lowest place. Oh, could I be even the doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Oh, Lord, remember them in the desires that thou hast planted in their heart, because we do not have such desires from our side, and it is true that it all can be of ourself. And yet thou dost give those desires, oh, that thou would make them to grow, and that thou would also visit thine own, because thou knowest how that they do so often fear in all the way wherein that thou dost lead them, which is no easy way for thy flesh, as when Joseph of old did try his brethren that he may bring them in that right place before him, in order that he may reveal himself unto them, and that he might show himself, and that he might say unto them, I am Joseph, your brother, and that he might say unto them, come near unto me. O Lord, thou knowest where then we need to be brought, and all the fears in the meantime, in all that tribulation when we must be brought down from being a good and honest man to being verily guilty before thee. Oh, then thou dost still uphold thy people in that way, wherein that thou dost lead them, wherein they fear so many times for their life and for the punishment of all their iniquities, which thou bringest back into their memory more and more, so that they cannot get out from underneath it, and at the same time dost show them, thou bringest them into thy house, and dost set them all in order before thee, to show unto them that though they know not who thou art, that thou knowest who that they are. O Lord, then it is sometimes such a mystery for thy people, and when they may come up unto thy house of prayer, when they may be overwhelmed with such a token that thou knowest who that they are, and that thou knowest where that they are, and they cannot explain any of it. O Lord, wilt thou look upon them also in this hour, that thou mayst so show it unto thy own, and that thou hast a favor unto them, even though then they are still being instructed in that most difficult knowledge of self, and how great that my sins and that my miseries are. O Lord, lead thou each and every one of us in that way, and that is such a necessary way, and that we may be instructed in the knowledge of ourself in the light of who thou art, a holy and a righteous and a good-doing God. Oh, that we might be given so to smite upon our breast, Lord. God, be merciful to me, the sinner, and that thou mayst reveal thyself unto our souls for the first or by renewal, and bring thy people low, O Lord. For thou knowest that old man that does raise his ugly head over and over again. But thou art able so powerfully and at the same time so gently to bring it down. Thy servant did say, correct me, O Lord, but not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Oh, that thou wouldst deal gently with us, otherwise we will be consumed. Oh, that thy mercy and that thy grace in thy dear and only begotten Son may be made evident and plain to those who do know no other way. Remember thou all thy children and increase, O Lord, that number of thy true church in our midst, and that are led, that are instructed by thee. They are made alive by thee. They need to be fed by thee. O Lord, do it then that they might know thee and the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent, which is life eternal. Do look upon our children and our youth also, and while they are still young, that thou may watch over and protect them. Oh, give them grace in their souls, a new birth while they are still young, and that the desires of their heart may be changed, and that they may, with their whole, all their youthful strength and vigor and all their life, that it might be given in thy service, for thou art so worthy and thou art so good. Oh, that they might be made truly one of those little ones. And Lord, may we also be kept from offending one of these little ones, because that is so easy to do also as one of thy servants, as the disciples did send the little ones away. Oh, that we might receive that wisdom, that we might know how to lead them unto thee, that great shepherd, that thou mightest take them in thine arms. Wilt thou care for our parents and our teachers in the season that is now laying upon us so quickly, the year flying away? Oh, that thou may give that which is necessary for those that do instruct, both in the home and in the school, where it is all commanded by thee, that thou may strengthen, that thou may give diligence and faithfulness and wisdom and grace and thy spirit and thy blessing and thy favor evidently to rest upon all the manifold labors that are performed on behalf of our rising generation. Remember also our theological school, the student and the instructors. Be thou on the right and on the left in all the many labors that must be performed. And wilt thou make it good also from time to be together, and that thou wouldst grant thy indispensable blessing, increase the number of thy truly sent servants. Work thou mightily also on behalf of our mission field, a church worker, and all those that labor therein. Wilt thou remember us when we hope to meet as a confession class for the first time in this week? Lord, wilt thou bring us together also in thy favor in the year that lies before us? Oh, that it might be good to be together, that there may be a true interest of the soul after those blessed truths that thou dost teach us out of thy revealed will, and that we might be given that desire to enter in unto that true church of God. Because they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, thou dost say. Lord, remember us as a nation and as a people, our government and all that rule and reign over us. Oh, that thou may look on the elections that do take place also in the United States of America. Lord, thou art in control of everything. And one says this and another says that, but oh, the future, and that is all in thy hands, we beseech thee yet to have mercy upon us and to stop us in our mad career wherein that we do so quickly run to our own destruction. Wilt thou remember those that are afflicted and sick? We remember especially that little child that lays in the hospital so small, and those parents who are continually there with that child. Oh Lord, thou knowest the patience that is necessary for them. Oh, that thou mayst strengthen them and give them a little quietness also as they do wait. Oh, as they do look even day after day for a little strength of the child, for a little weight of the child to increase. Oh Lord, that is all in thy hands. Help the doctors, the nurses, and wilt thou grant thy blessing on all those labors there. The young boy that has also received surgery on his arm, Lord, thou knowest all that has taken place, and the serious calling also that has come unto him in the days of his youth. Oh, that thou may bind it upon his heart and upon the hearts of his parents and family and all of us together, because there is but a step between us and death. Oh, give us to take heed, Lord, to all these warnings that thou dost give unto us, that it may be for his profit in the days of his youth, that he might seek his maker and his creator. Wilt thou remember her that is to receive surgery in the coming week on her hand? Lord, thou knowest all that needs to take place, and thou hast made it successful on the one hand. Oh, could it please thee to help also this time again, and bring her through, and that thou may make all things well, that she may acknowledge thee therefore, give wisdom unto the doctors, and wilt thou supply thy help as that great physician. Bless us, Lord. And we do not deserve the least of all thy notice or attention, but it all awaits thy blessing. Wilt thou help us as a consistory in all the work of our hands, as we have met again in the week that has gone by? O Lord, wilt thou bless all of our labors, give us strength also as fathers, especially when we are young and there are children at home, Lord. Oh, that thou may help the wives and the children also in the coming season, when the labors are many. Wilt thou uphold and strengthen and give in the congregation much prayer, that they may also uphold us. Lord, go before us in this hour. Oh, we are before thy face. Thou sayest that where two or three are gathered together in my name, and there am I in the midst of them. Oh, could it please thee to show thyself in this hour, in these moments, to make this an easy and a loving task, to give strength and wisdom therefore, and an extra measure of thy Holy Spirit, and that thy Spirit may freely go, O Lord, from bench to bench and from heart to heart amongst young and old. Oh, for this, we are so dependent upon thee. We beseech it of thee in the name of thy dear and only begotten Son, and for his sake, and for the sake of the building up of his kingdom, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 428, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Oh, let thy Spirit be my constant aid, that all my ways may ever be directed to keep thy statutes, so to be obeyed, that from all error I may be protected. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 428. Beloved congregation, we have heard out of God's word that the Lord Jesus said that the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. That is actually very strong language, that word lost. That means actually to be destroyed, that is to be abolished, that is as if one has been through the trial and he has been condemned and he is only waiting for the hanging, that he is lost, that is now the elect church in their natural state. They are lost, that is who that the Lord Jesus came for. The Son of Man came to save that which was lost. He did not come just to help those who are weak. No, but he came to save and to deliver those who have no strength and those who are lost. What did Peter cry out? He says, Lord, save me. I perish. That is the cry of the true church. That they are not able to deliver themselves, and that they cannot deliver themselves from what? What do they need children to be delivered from? They need to be delivered from sin. Do you also need to be delivered from sin? Are you afraid that you will perish? Do you cry out like Peter, Lord, save me, I perish? And we read of the psalmist, he says, the billows, they roll over my soul. Do you know what Paul said to the Roman church? He said, sin shall not have dominion over you. That is something. That is just their fear. That sin will have dominion over them. And that they will be destroyed by it. And if sin is going to have the last word in their life, then indeed they are going to perish. That is what they are afraid of, because that sin is ingrained in their heart. And Paul says, the good that I would, I do, not the evil that I would not, that I do. Thus it is a great comfort. If the Lord says unto such a people that sin shall not have dominion over you. Was that ever a word of comfort to your soul? That is a very precious word. That is a precious promise that the Lord is giving unto his own church. And how can that be, that sin will not have dominion over you? Is that because there is going to come a time, if they fight in that warfare, and if they do their very best, oh, that there is going to come a time that they are going to be so strong, and they are going to be stronger than sin, and they are going to be able to get rid of it in their life and in their heart? No. No, that will never be. Not as long as they are in this world. But do you know why the Lord says that? He says that because he says the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. And then he spoke a parable. And then he spoke a parable about a lost sheep. And that we want to consider with the Lord's help. Out of the 12th verse of the portion that was read to you, Matthew chapter 18, the 12th verse. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? So far the words of our text, the recovery of a sheep gone astray. First, his straying, and second, his recovery. The recovery of a sheep gone astray, first his straying, and then his recovery. How think ye if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray? So we have heard over the last number of weeks different words in the Bible, and that are explaining what sin is in the sight of God. And now we have here another one that is planao. That means to go astray. That is another biblical expression for sin. What does that mean? To go astray, that is to be led aside from the right path, so that a person is wandering, so that he begins to roam. He roams away from the truth. He roams away from virtue. He roams away from what is right. And he goes on a different path. He wanders away. Or the word sometimes is speaking about deception, or when a person is making an error. So the Sadducees, they believed, young people, what? They believed there was no resurrection. And what did the Lord Jesus say? He says, ye do greatly planao. You do greatly err. You do greatly stray away from the truth, and you make a serious error. And you not only wander yourself, but you are causing other people, because you are teaching your doctrine to others. So that word planao, that is also speaking about leading other people to stray away from that truth. At the end times, the Lord Jesus says there's going to be false prophets that are coming into the world, and they shall deceive many. Planao. They will deceive them. They will lead them aside from the truth. They will lead them into error. There are degrees in sin. So not every sin in this world is the same. Murder is more than theft. And there are also, of course, then, because not every sin is the same, then also punishment is not all the same. And that punishment that has to be given in light of what that sin is. And now to go astray or to wander, that is not the same thing as sinning, we would say, with a high hand. Just like Absalom did with very much intention, come against his father and try to drive him from the throne. And from the place that the Lord had raised him unto, desiring even to slay his own father, to sin with a high hand, that is a much greater sin than it is to go astray. What is the cause of error? That is often ignorance. And sloth, because then we do not seek to know the truth. But error in our mind is originating with something that is in our heart. And what is that? That is the desire for sin. Thus that desire for sin, that evil heart, that is affecting also our mind, our intellect, what we know. We need to keep on the right path. And in order to keep on the right path, we need to work hard. We need to work hard. We need to work hard at it. And why do we have to work so hard at it to keep to that right path, to keep to the truth? Well, that is because the love of sin is living in our heart. And because our heart so desires to walk in the path of sin, then it must be a warfare. That's what it is in the life of the true church. It is a church militant. Then it must be a warfare for them to remain on that path of truth. And why is that? It is because we were not created that way. No, we were created different. But we have now a fallen nature. We have a fallen disposition. Our whole being that is inclined unto evil. How much work do we do? How much work do we do to remain with the truth? Young people, I'm going to address you for a moment in particular. Why? Because you are the future of the church. How much work do you do to know the truth? The truth which our fathers have handed down to us so faithfully. The truth that our forefathers have given their life's blood for. And that we won't give up the pleasures of this world for a little while, even to read about, to study the Word of God, the doctrines that are in the Word of God, what is now the foundation of the truth. Because young people, there is going to come a time, if the Lord will spare you, that you may be sitting over there, or maybe standing here. You ever think about that? Oh, that was not my expectation when I was your age. But the Lord led differently. And now if the Lord would make you to sit there, what do those men have to do? They have to listen to me. For your sake. And they have to ask, is that man telling the truth? Is that really according to the Word of God? Is that now a great responsibility? And when will you begin to arm yourself against all the wickedness and all the evils and against all the errors that are surrounding us on every side? When as a mother and a father of your own family, you will be there to instruct them and to say, this is the truth and that is not the truth. Is that important? Is that important to you? Is it important to us as a congregation? Is it important to the church as the church goes into the future? Thus, that is work. That does not just happen like you can learn on a video today how to do this or that in 10 minutes. No, it is work. Because we need to use that mind that the Lord has given unto us. We are not animals. And we need to sweat a little bit. And not say that that is now for someone else to know. No, when you are a father and you are a mother, then you also must be convinced of what that truth of the Lord is. And now our text that speaks about making an error, and the errors in the truth, are they important? They are certainly important. Our soul goes lost because we make errors. You say, is that a sin? Is that a sin when a man makes an error? When he falls into error, you say, I can understand that. That is a sinful thing if a man, he will lead someone else in error. You say, that is sinful. But is it now sinful for someone to make an error? The Bible is very clear about that. Listen to what the Lord said through Moses. If a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though they wist it not, yet he is guilty, and shall bear his iniquity. Israel had to bring sacrifices for sins of ignorance. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance, wherein he erred and wisted not, and it shall be forgiven him. How is that possible? A person can be guilty of something when he does not even know that he is sinning. How is that possible? It can only be one way. And that is that we are accountable for our ignorance. You can be speeding and not realize it. You say, well, I didn't even know what the speed limit was. And the officer gives you a ticket. You say, but I didn't know. He says, you ought to have known. That is it. You ought to have known. You are accountable for those things that you do not know and which you ought to know. Where does ignorance come from? Ignorance comes from our fall. We were not ignorant when God made us. No, God made us in knowledge, in righteousness, and in holiness, in Adam. Say then it is all Adam's fault. Is that so? No, it is not all Adam's fault. Do you know why? Because we don't seek it. We don't seek it. We don't seek that knowledge. And why don't we seek that knowledge? Because we don't desire it. See where the fountain is? We don't desire it. That is because we desire to walk in the pleasures of this life. It is because we love sin. It is because our whole disposition, our whole being, our whole nature, that is inclined unto sin after the fall. A man that loves wine, he loves wine, he loves liquor, he loves the bar. You say, come with me, and I will bring you to a course. There we're going to learn about how bad that is for you. Can you get him to go? No. No. He does not want to know that. He would rather remain ignorant of that. Why? Because he loves his wine. And if he would learn something about that wine, well, that might turn him, but he loves his wine. He does not want to be turned. All that is that evil heart, and that is affecting our knowledge, even our desire for knowledge, because we want to remain in that fleshly state that we are in by nature, in our fall, our whole nature has been changed. That human nature, we didn't lose a human nature, we are still a human being, but that whole human nature, the way that God has made us, that human nature has now changed. The Roman Catholic Church, that is why we left that church. They say, no, that human nature did not change. You say, but before God had a restraint on man, and in the fall, then the restraint was gone. We lost our restraint. We lost our bridle for the horse. That is foolishness. Why did we need a bridle? We did not need a bridle when the Lord made us. And we did not only lose a bridle. No, but our very nature has become corrupt. And thus men say we just need to be reformed. Is that true that we just need to be reformed? What did Olivianus and Ursinus say in our beloved catechism? You need to be reformed? No, he says that we are prone to hate God and our neighbor. What does that word prone mean? He says that is now in our very nature. Our nature is just inclined in that direction. Then we don't need to just be reformed. No, then we need to be renewed. What did the Lord Jesus say? He says that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. His whole nature, his disposition, he needs a new disposition. He needs to be leaning in a different way. He needs to be inclined unto a different way, a way different than he is after our fall. So our very affections, the things that we love, oh, that needs to be changed. Oh, what if that could be changed? You ever feel that? Ever feel that? Do you ever say, oh, I feel something of that love that is in my heart for sin? And if that is now a grief to us, oh, then you say, if only I didn't love it anymore. If only I didn't desire it anymore. Because it is the desires of my heart that are motivating me to seek after those things. Oh, what does the Lord have to do? He has to give the love for righteousness. He has to give that love for holiness. And when there is a love for righteousness, oh, then our mind also, then we desire to seek those things that are above. Oh, then when we desire those things, then the Lord is enlightening our mind. Then we begin to see things as they truly are when he gives us new desires and when he gives us a new will, new choices of our will. Thus our ignorance, that what is that? That is our own fault. Our own fault. It is because of our fall, yes, but it is also because of our desires. Because of the love of our heart that we are not enlightened because we don't really want to know anything, and that is why, because those errors are our own fault, that they are also punishable when we are led in a wrong way, because that is who we have become. We have become those who very naturally go in the wrong way. What think ye if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray? We are gone so far astray that we don't even have to think. We don't have to think, but we sin without even realizing it. How is that possible? That means it lies, congregation, very deep here, within our heart, that we do not even have to try. We do not even have to think about it, and then we go wrong. That is, we do it naturally, all of us. That is who we now are after we fell. Do you ever feel that? Do you ever feel that? Or even in our sleep, how can it be that even in our sleep, the wickedness that can be made evident that is living in our heart. You say, I'm not actively trying to think of those things. There, it is all living within my heart. What think ye? If a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, planao. What is the assumption here? If somebody goes astray, that means that they were in the right way. They were in the right way. And they have left the right way. They have gone astray from that right way. Thus, that is an aggravation of this sin. That a man has been in that right way. Thus, Ruth desired and sought something that she never had. But Elimelech and Naomi left something that they possessed. They went astray. Is that congregation not punishable? Can such a person not be guilty when he goes astray, when he errs? Oh, how little we realize what we have. Also the truth, young people. You know, we do not realize it. So often we take the things that we have, children, at home, the love at home. Don't take that for granted. It's not in every home. The prosperity and all the blessings that we have, oh, we take them so for granted. Oh, let us not take for granted the truth that we have been brought up in since our youth, because when you look around you, there are so many young people and so many children that have never heard some of the least doctrines and truths that you have been brought up in. Adam, when he was made and put in paradise, was accountable for everything that he had. And so are we. Adam was not watchful. He went astray. Are we watchful? Will we allow ourselves to be deceived with all the errors because of our ignorance, because we do not prize the things which the Lord has given unto us? What did the Lord Jesus say to Jerusalem? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee together, thy children together, as a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings. He says, you have killed the prophets. You have stoned those who God has sent unto you. You have not understood that you have been put in that right way, and that you have strayed from it. You have erred from the right way. He says, behold, your house is now left unto you desolate. 70 years later, was destroyed. Let us sing. 103, stanzas 2 and 4. I am prone to halt and stumble. Grief and sorrow dwell within. Shame and guilt my spirit humble. I am sorry for my sin. 2 and 4 of Psalter 103. Thank you. recovery of a sheep gone astray. First, his straying. Second, his recovery. What think ye? If a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, what think ye? Can he find his way back again, that sheep? Just ask the shepherd, and he will tell you that that is not possible. Because a sheep very quickly gets disoriented when he gets away from his flock. A sheep does not have, even within his nature, that homing instinct that some other animals have. So that when a sheep goes astray, he is lost. That is why the Lord Jesus speaks here about being lost, and then he begins to speak about a straying sheep. And he says such a sheep is lost. He is ruined. He is destroyed. There is no hope of such a sheep finding his way back again unto the flock. Because he has no homing instinct. Thus the fact is lying within the nature of the sheep. It is lying within a sheep's character. But is the Lord Jesus speaking here about sheep? Or is the Lord Jesus speaking here about his people? His own elect church in Adam, they have gone astray, that whole human race. Their fallen nature, that fallen disposition, no longer permits them to find their way back again, even though they are called. May call that sheep, but he cannot find the way back again. And now so it is with that people. Oh, they have, as it were, reverently speaking, no homing instinct. It is really even worse with them, because they found a new home. A new home. A home wherein they are content. A home where they are satisfied. Oh, do you find such a homing instinct in your heart? When the Lord Jesus says, seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God, find such a thing in your heart? As you're going about your work every day, are your thoughts there? Is your desire there? Or is it true what the Lord Jesus says, that when that human race, and even his elect church, is lost. Is lost. God's elect are among that fallen race. They are no different from anyone else in the whole world in themselves. There is only one difference, and that is in God. That is in God's choice. And there they are. There they are in the world. And if the Lord would have them back again, He must go to seek them. He must go to seek them. That is his only hope. That he may have a church, he cannot expect that a single one of those lost sheep would ever find their way back unto him again. Oh, that is not only his only hope, but it is, congregation, also our only hope. Do you ever feel that? Do you ever feel that? That you can never bring yourself to hate sin. To hate it. And to love righteousness and holiness and justice and goodness and God. What think ye? If a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? Doth he not? Doth the shepherd not do that? So yes, he does. Yes, he does. Why does he do that? Because he knows his sheep. And he cares for his sheep. Where is the cause? Where is the moving cause? That is in God. That is not in that people. Oh, did God not send his only begotten Son into the world that they might live through him? Did not Christ himself say, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Where now was that people? Where now were the elect? In all those transactions, in that stillness of eternity, was it not all begun? Was it not all carried out by God himself? And now, where are those elect now? They are lost. They are lost. They are lost sheep. That is by consequence of the fall in Adam. And there they are, with no ability to deliver themselves, fully, wholly dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit of God to work, to begin, even to give unto them a cry, even a sigh in their heart after God. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leopard change his spots? Then can ye do good, the Lord says, who are accustomed to do evil? Can a sheep change his nature? Can a sheep give himself a homing instinct with which he was not created, that does not lie in his nature? Can a sinner change his nature, his fallen nature in Adam? Can he give himself love? Can he give himself desire? Can he give himself affection which does not lie in him? Are you able to change your nature and to give yourself that which does not lie in you? If you could. If you could. You would not need a Savior. You could leave him in his place. Because you could come back all by yourself. That is what the Arminians say. And they don't need that good shepherd. Or then they say, well, you need just to come home. It's like the dogs, right? Like the dogs, young people. Bring a dog 100 miles away. He knows the way home. Are you a dog? Or are you a sheep? You know what David says? David says, I have gone astray. Like a lost sheep, seek thy servant. Is that also in your heart? Oh, you hear the callings. Callings in nature. Callings in providence. Callings out of the Word of God. The reading, the preaching. The Lord says, return. Return, return unto me. What do you say? Oh Lord, draw me. Lord, draw me. Because there is nothing in here that would return unless thou wilt put it in my heart. Oh, there is even so much in my heart that I don't even realize. And more I see that it is from the sole of the foot to the crown of the head, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. O Lord, thou sayest that I must repent and I cannot repent. Thou sayest I must believe and I cannot believe. I have no power to do so. It does not lie in my nature. It needs to be given to me, O Lord, from thee thyself. Hear what the Lord says. How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? The Lord Jesus asks a question. He says, doth he not do that? Doesn't say it, but he means, oh yes, he does do that. Oh yes, he does do that. For those sheep. Why? Because that is laying in his character. That is laying in his nature. He says, that is my sheep. And therefore, I will go after my sheep. When does that change? He does not change. He cannot change. Has always been the same. He has done it in the past. He does it today. And he will do it in the future for every single one of those lost sheep. Listen to what he says. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. One of these little ones. What does the context say? He called a child to him. And then he spoke about these little ones. He says, except ye be converted and become like a little child. Except you humble yourself like a little child. You cannot enter into that kingdom of God. He speaks about these little ones that believe in me. And he says, it is not the will of the Father, that a single one of those little ones should perish. These are the sheep of his flock. They are lost. Why are they lost? Because of their sin. Because of their sin. Because they have wandered out of the way. I have put them in the way. And they had all those privileges in Adam. And they have wandered, they have strayed away. And now they have quickly become, as it were, disoriented. They're not able to find their way back. All they do is cry. Oh, you hear them crying? How long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Oh, they cry. They cry and what? And they wait. They wait. They wait for who? Oh, they are waiting for that shepherd. That good shepherd. Oh, that that good shepherd might hear them. Why? Because they don't know the way back again. They cannot find that way back again. And thus they are waiting. They wait for that Savior. Such a waiting is often despised today. It's despised. You know who it is despised by? It is despised by the dogs. They say, just go back. Just go back. You must just believe it. And then you are back again. And then those sheep, those little sheep, they say, I do not know how to do it. I do not have the power in myself to do what you say. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And therefore, congregation, they will not perish. They will not perish. Because it is not the Father's will that they perish. What then must those poor lost sheep do? Those poor lost sheep who do not know their way back again, who are called to come back again, who are called to faith, who are called to repentance, and they do not know how to repent, and they do not know how to believe. What must they do? Well, what does that sheep do? He cries. He cries. And so that is what you must do. And why must you do that? Because we read here about that shepherd. And that shepherd, we read here, he is going into the mountains to seek out his lost sheep. Now those mountains are big, are they not? They are the whole world. The whole world. How can he find them? How can he find you? So many nooks, so many crannies in those mountains, and he is going and he is searching for that lost sheep. Now think about this, young people, children. All of a sudden he hears crying. Ah, he said, what did I hear? There. There he is. All the louder you cry, the longer that you cry, the sooner that he is going to find you. Read Psalm 107. Oh, then you are going to see him. Oh, when he seeks you out and when he finds you, oh, then you are going to see him. And he's going to show himself. And then you are going to see him coming. Oh, how your heart is going to leap for joy when he is coming leaping upon the mountains and when he is coming skipping upon the hills. Oh, and when you will see him, then there will be hope. Hope, not hope in yourself, in what you can do, in whatever your efforts are, but no hope in him, because you are lost and he has come to save that which is lost. Oh, then your heart is going to rejoice. Then you are going to love him. Then your heart is going to go out after him. Oh, you say, could that be? Could that be for me? Or could it be for not only for others, but also for me? What does the Word of God say? It says it will be. It says it will be. Not only can it be, but it must be. But it has to be. How can it be? What does the Lord say? He says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? They are crying day and night, and the Lord bearing long, long time. How long has it been that you have been crying and not able to take one step amidst all your duty, amidst all your obligation, because it is for you utter destruction? How long has it been? Though he bear long with them, shall he not avenge them? Cry, oh cry, cry, congregation, unto him. How think ye, if a man had 100 sheep, one of them be planao, gone astray, sinfully left the path, doth he not leave the 99, goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, there is no hope from our side, and thou knowest where they are who do feel it, who do experience it, and who are so hopeless. Lord, remember them, because there is hope in thee. That is what thy word does say. Deliver them, Lord, and wilt thou come unto them, and wilt thou hear the needy when they cry, and save their souls when death draws nigh. Oh, bless thy holy word. Make us one of thy sheep. Forgive and take away all of our many sins. Bring us safely to our places and give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Give and thy blessing upon all that we may read also in this day or sing. Care for us as families. Instruct and lead us even as thy own flock. Be with us in the week that has just begun. The children and teachers at school, be on the right and the left also, on the way and on the way home. And the fathers in their places of labor and mothers in their homes. Give faithfulness, diligence, health and strength and meditation upon thy word and that desire. Oh, that desire, those affections that come only from thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 342, all the stanzas. Oh, let my supplicating cry by thee, my gracious Lord, be heard. Give wisdom and deliver me according to thy faithful word. 1 through 4 of 342. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.